All right.
Rabbi Sayer, we want to thank Rav Cohn for joining us, for sharing the great Torah with us, and we would like now to proceed. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for this very special opportunity. And I would say very timely opportunity, considering that we're holding a mere few days before Tisha B'Av. And Tisha B'Av, we all know, represents almost a pattern of the challenges of Jewish history. The Churban Bayis Rishon took place on Tisha B'Av, the Churban Bayis Sheni, the original Bechia Shel Chinom of the Meraglim, and many other Bechiois Shel Deirois took place on Tisha B'Av. So Tisha B'Av certainly is very representative of a lot of what has been going on through the millennia of our existence, and especially the Golus of the last close to 2,000 years. And the truth of the matter is that from Moshe Rabbeinu, actually, through Yirmiyahu HaNovi, through Rabbeinu HaKodesh in the Mishnah, and so many that followed, everyone has always been trying to understand what goes on with all of this suffering. Moshe Rabbeinu asked, Hoydieni no estrochecho, please Hashem, inform me of your ways. Let me understand how you conduct this world, how you run this world, what this world is all about. Yirmiyahu HaNovi said, Madua derech reshoim tzlecho. Why is it that it seems that the evil people, the reshoim, seem to have a lot of success, more success, or oftentimes more obvious success than even the righteous people, even the tzaddikim? The Tana in the Mishnah tells us, Ein biyodeinu lo mishalvas reshoim velo miyisurei hatzaddikim. We don't understand the well-doing, the peace and the success of the wicked and the suffering of the tzaddikim. And this goes on, and Eoiv, a whole Sefer Eoiv, deals with this question of tzaddik v'ralo, Eoiv, this giant tzaddik, this super tzaddik, who suffered such tremendous losses. And this is an issue that from time immemorial, from Moshe Rabbeinu and onward, has always been of concern. And I think that the attitude that we have to have is, number one, in reality, if Moshe Rabbeinu and Yirmiyahu HaNovi and Rabbeinu HaKodesh and all of the others that followed them did not really get a total, in-depth, clear, true, full understanding of the suffering that goes on in the world, it's probably beyond us as well. And that, of course, is something that we really, theoretically, should be able to tolerate, because we can't possibly expect to understand everything that Hashem does. In fact, I'm reminded of a situation of a young lady in Yerushalayim, later became my wife, who went to purchase a coat, and she asked when she bought the coat if they test for shatness. And the salesperson says to her, what's that? She says, well, we're not allowed to have wool and linen in the same garment. Why not? She asks her. Well, because it says so in the Torah. She says, what's the reason for that? She says, I don't know. She says, do you mean to say that you're going to concern yourself with doing something or not doing something that the Torah says when you have no idea what the reason is? And she answered her very simply. She said, I'll tell you the truth. If I thought I could fully understand Hashem, I don't know if I'd be able to worship Him. I don't know if by definition, the concept of a creator and of a controller and of a Shem Elokeinu, if I would be able to deal with that concept, if I really thought I could understand all. By definition, it has to be beyond our understanding. On the other hand, there is a serious need that we all have to try to understand things. It's part of human nature. Eoiv spent 38 prokim with his chaverim that came there to try to understand why he went through such torment and torture. And it's a very logical, it's a psychological, it's an emotional need that we have. But at best, we could call it, and that's what I think a fair title is, making some sense out of suffering. Sense meaning something. Maybe it's called a scenario of possibility, to see something in a, as a, well, this might be what's going on. There are benefits. This might be the intention, or maybe this is a collateral benefit, but there is what to be gained in the process. And on some level, I would say, we have to be able to deal with that issue as Eoiv struggled to deal with that issue. And the truth of the matter is, as Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to understand, and as Yirmiyah asked the question, and so forth. So I think that there are a number of points that we have to establish in order to begin this attempt to make some sense out of suffering. I think first is background. First is the recognition of Hashem's chesed. And that is something that's so critical for understanding, or for accepting our lack of understanding of the challenges, the difficulties, and the suffering that exists in this world. The Pasuk in Tehillim tells us, and Chazal bring, Olam chesed yibone. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't have to create the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was complete and total, bishleimus, bisholem, bishalvo, whatever words we could use to describe him in whatever human terms we can. And he needed not this entire world. Yet, because of Olam Chesed Yibone, because of his mahus, his essence being that of Chesed, and the essence of Chesed is to be Goymel Chesed, is to not just to have it internally, not just to be it, but to act on it, to act with it, to express it. And he created a world, and he created everything in this world, and he created lack in this world, Chesroinus, so that he should be able with his chesed to fulfill them. And he fulfills them every day. All of the bodily needs that we have, all of the material needs that we have, all of the spiritual needs that we have, all of the emotional needs that we have, and every aspect of creation with his Ashgocha Protis, constantly, endlessly, intricately, and intimately fulfilling all of these needs with his Ashgocha Protis, with the way he conducts the world. The truth of the matter is that there's a beautiful Shmuis from the Alter from Slabotka. The Alter says that what we say, that Hashem is mechadish betuvay b'chol yom tomid ma'aseh bereishis, that he recreates the entire ma'aseh bereishis, the entire creation, anew every single day. The Alter adds to that, he recreates it for each and every individual. Not just one recreation of Ma'aseh Bereishis for 7.5 billion people on the face of the earth, but for each and every person, he says, Tzadik and Rosh alike, is Mechadish B'tuva B'chodim Tobit Ma'aseh Bereishis. We could ask the question, where does he get it from? How does he know this for each individual? So it's there it is, because he's Mechadish Ma'aseh Bereishis. What was Ma'aseh Bereishis? Ma'aseh Bereishis was a whole world created for one person, Odom HaRishon. So if Hashem does not recreate the whole world for each and every individual, he's not being Mechadish Ma'aseh Bereishis. But you could still ask the question, we say in the Davni that the raya to this is Ko'amur, Mechadish B'tuv V'chodim Tomim Ma'aseh Bereishis, Ko'amur, Le'oisei Oirim Gedoilim Ki Lo'olam Chastoi, because he makes the Oirim Gedoilim Ki Lo'olam Chastoi. What's the raya that he does it for each individual? Okay, Le'oisei, he makes it, he recreates it every day, Ki Lo'olam Chastoi, but what's the raya for each individual? Teretz says, I believe the raya is because it says Kila Olam Chastoi. His chesed that he created the world with, which was a whole universe, a whole world for one person, is Le'olam, exists forever. That original chesed with which Hashem expressed in his creation of the whole world for the benefit of one human being is Le'olam Chastoi. That chesed remains the same. Therefore, today he's doing the same thing. He's creating the whole world, recreating the whole world every single day with the same chesed that he had in Ma'aseh Bereishis for each and every individual on the face of this earth. So we need this background of Hashem's chesed. We need the baseline of Hashem's chesed. We need to know kol ma de'ovid rachmono l'tav ovid. Everything Hashem does is for the good. And we need to know that Hashem does everything. We need to know Einoid Milvadoi. There is no other koyach in this world other than Hashem. And He does everything, and everything is from Him, and everything is by Him, and everything that He does is for the good. This is the baseline. But this, of course, is something that really we should become alerted to and aware of and internalize before we face the challenges of life. Unfortunately, it's not always practical. It doesn't usually happen because it's really very difficult to walk into a Beis Ovel when people are mourning a tragic loss and walk in with a big smile and say, "This is the best thing that ever happened. Kol mad ov rachmono letav ovid." It's true, but it's not appropriate to say it there, and it's hard to understand how that works, even though we know intellectually that it's true. So this really should be the baseline upon which we build our making some sense out of suffering, even before we come to face the suffering. Of course, as I mentioned, that's not always practical. But then we have to realize something else. We have to realize that as Rabbi Akiva was maspid his son, Rabbi Shimon, the Gemara in Smochis, says that I think 10,000 people came to Tveria for the Levaya, and Rabbi Akiva got up with his hesped and he said, "Your coming here has gives me nechoma, consoles me, whether it causes, it gives me nechoma." He says, and then he makes the strangest speech. He says, "And don't think it's easy to bury a son. And even had I buried 7 sons, your coming here would be a nechoma. Because your coming here either indicates or causes, I'm not sure which it means, but my son is a ben olam haba. My son is assured a chelek in the world to come." That's the ultimate sense of nechoma, of consolation. And it's a very strange hesped. Don't think it's easy to bury a son. Like, who would think it is easy? And even had I buried 7 sons, like, what is he talking about? And it seems Rabbi Akiva is explaining as follows. To find nechoma on a tragic loss is almost impossible. And if you find someone who is taking it well, you might think that he didn't really love his son, that he doesn't really care, that he's oblivious to what's happening, he's spaced out, he hasn't come to grips with the situation yet, he hasn't been teufis, what's going on. But he says, no, even had I buried 7 sons, I would find the chumah. Why? Because I know now with your coming that my son is a ben olam haba. It sounds like there's one nechoma. And that is that this world is finite. This world is not the end. This world is just the beginning. It starts here and it goes on for eternity. And this is it's a continuum. And what happens here is just a beginning and a preparation and a proizdor lefnesha tikonis letraklin to the ultimate, to the oilam emes, to the oilam hanetzach, to oilam hatoiv, where it's the ultimate good, the ultimate pleasure to be nenemizim ashchina. And therefore, when we look at this world, very limited just to its shivim shona, shmoinim shoma, robom ovo v'oven, then we're missing the point. Where it's a myopic view of what's taking place. It cannot possibly do justice to the whole picture because of the fact that it's not the reality. It's just such a small piece, a minuscule piece of the reality that's going on. And that's, I think, a very important concept that gives us a sense of, well, there's broader ramifications. It's not just what we understand here, but it goes much beyond that. And that, of course, is something that helps us to adjust, that helps us to put in perspective what goes on. But how do things work? How can we make some sense of it? So first of all, we have to realize that ultimately, we don't know. We can't know the answer. But we also have to realize that Hashem waited till Perek Lamed Ches before He told Eoiv, Vayomer Hashem el Eoiv, Efo ha'yiso beyosti oretz. Where were you, Eoiv, when I created the world? How could you possibly know what's going on? Do you see the whole panorama like that amazing needle point that's upstairs that comes from the beginning of creation and goes on for eternity? And all it looks like from down here is disheveled threads hanging down. But if you saw the total picture, you would get it. Hey, for Isabios Theoris, you weren't around. You don't have the perspective. You don't see the scope. You don't see the total picture. So that's what Hashem told him. And Hashem hinted to him in the pasuk before Rashi learns that he's going to have simcha again in his life. He's going to get back a family, children, his wealth, his health. Things are going to turn around. And only then, after 38 prokim of frustration and trying to understand, and a hint that things are going to turn around, only then, it seems, was Hashem ready to answer to him the truth and say, you can't possibly understand. So it isn't enough just to say, I can't possibly understand. We have a need and a right to try to attempt. Now, it's true that on the highest, highest, highest level, there is no need. In fact, there's a Medrash Tanchuma that says that Iyov was, in his tzidkus, in his righteousness, supposed to be included in Ovois, in the first Broch of Shmon Esri, together with Avrom, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. We were supposed to say Elokei Avrom, Elokei Yitzchok, Elokei Yaakov, Elokei Iyov. And he lost that distinct honor because he questioned. The Ovois also suffered. They suffered with their children. They suffered many different challenges, nisyonos, but yet they never questioned why. They didn't even have a question. Iyov had questions. He discussed those questions. And therefore, even though he was a super tzaddik, and he was zeiche to get everything back and to read the end of Sefer Iyov, talks about the restoration of his life, but yet he wasn't able to be zeiche to that. However, we still see that the need for questioning is there, because he was a super tzaddik who could have potentially been in Ovois. So anyway, so the need to come up with some type of a scenario is very, very critical. And the reason for it is because intellectually, we know. In fact, intellectually, there's no questions. Because a question on Hashem, why Hashem does something, that's absurd. You really think you'll understand it even if he gives you the answer? Maybe, I don't know. But that's not, there's no questions on Hashem. We can't possibly think that we can understand what everything Hashem does, or maybe even anything, to unless what he reveals to us in the Torah. However, that there's a need to have some scenario. It's comforting. It soothes my inquisitive intellect. It gives me chizuk. It gives me strength. I can go on. I can continue because I have some way of making some sense out of it. I want to share with you a personal story, and to me, this has always been a source of strength. We, many years ago, established a yeshiva in the San Fernando Valley, and it was a place where very little Torah was existent in the 70s. There was one shul, there was a day school, but there wasn't real mokum Torah. And of course, today it's the Ir Ve'Em Yisrael. Anyway, so after the first year, there was a Malav Malka, and I asked one of the rabbis to tell a story just to entertain, to make an enjoyable evening of Malav Malka. And he told the following story of an elderly couple who didn't have children, getting older, and they went to the Rebbe and they got a brocha, and then they had a child. The child lived for 5 years and then passed away, and they were very broken, and the woman was already too old to have children. They went back to the Rebbe and they were very distraught. And the Rebbe told them, I'll tell you what happened. This child was the neshama of a great tzaddik that lived many, many years ago. And when this great tzaddik, he was a ger tzaddik, he became a ger when he was 5 years old. He was enamored with his Jewish tutor, and he ran off with him to become a ger tzaddik. And he lived a life of extreme piety. And when he comes to the Olam HaEmes, he's told, you were great, you know, you deserve the best. But 5 years was Shaloi B'Kedusha, you were eating tarfas and so forth and so on. You have to go back to this world as a Gilgul into the Neshama, and your Neshama has to come back, and that's going to be a tikkun for that time that you missed. And this child that you had was that holy Neshama that had to come back for this mission, and he was there. This was his time. He was supposed to be here just for 5 years. You had that privilege. Okay, interesting story. I was really a little bit, to say the least, upset because I didn't think it was appropriate entertainment for the for Amalava Malka, although an important story. 2 weeks later, I was on the plane with my wife, with the Oren of my 5.5-year-old son, to bury my son in Eretz Yisrael. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, it struck me. And I turned to my wife and I say, he was talking to us. And that story gave me so much strength. I don't know what happened. I don't know how the Rebbe knew either. But a scenario was so powerful, was so helpful. There is a possible way to understand it. And it relieved, it removed such a stone, such a burden from my heart, just with such a possibility. I, of course, took the possibility much further. I used to claim I knew whose neshama it was. My wife told me I was out of my mind. But be that as it may, that's irrelevant. But a scenario, when we talk about children, and we talk about such shortened lives of children who never sinned, so there can't be anything personal to them, and children cannot be punished for their parents' crimes, but the Teretzis, they were here for a short purpose. Sfarim say that towards the Ba'achris HaYomim, there are going to be a lot of neshomas that have to come back for a tikkun, and they're going to come back into children and then, you know, finish their mission and then expire. And so, again, it just makes it a little bit of a perspective. I can see a little bit what's going on. But I'd like to add another perspective to this, which I believe is also can also be very, very helpful. There is a Haggadah from the Tosfos Reed. Tosfos Reed is one of the Gedolei Rishonim. And there's a Haggadah. And in that Haggadah, on the phrase of the Mechilta, of the Haggadah, where it says, Mitchila oiv de avidezora hoyo aviseinu, that our ovis were originally oiv de avidezora, Terach avi Avraham. Terach was an idol worshiper, an idol maker, manufacturer. That was Avram Avinu's father. And he says that, yes, Akasha. He says, we thank Hashem for taking us out of Mitzrayim. And his question is, Hashem put us in there in the first place. If he wouldn't have put us in, he wouldn't have to take us out. Marash, what are we getting so excited? Thanking him, Halil and Nishmas and everything. Halil, Agol, what took us out of Mitzrayim? Shkoyach, you put us in there in the first place. So the Tosfos Reed says an unbelievable thing. He says, Mitchila oivde avidezoroi aviseinu. Says the Klal Yisrael genetically had in their genes Avodah Zorah. There was something there, we stem from Avodah Zorah. And as such, we could not have been zeiche to all the brochos, to the Shabbos, to the mitzvahs, to the Torah, to everything Hashem wanted to give us. So he put us in Mitzrayim. And he made us suffer. V'chas aleinu, and he had rachmonis. And he was able to justify giving us way beyond he ever could have justified by our deserving, by mishpot, in the rules of tzedek and mishpot, in the rules of mishpot in the world, that he could never have justified it. So sometimes the difficulties that we go through are in order to allow Hashem the justification to give us brocha, hatzlocha, shefa, way beyond anything that we could have earned or deserved, and therefore could never have gotten without this special rachmonis. Rachmonis is like an entitlement. You know, really, the world is run with mishpot and rachamim. Rashi says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when it says B'yom HaSeis HaShem Adikim, Hiktim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Midas HaRacham Midas HaDin. And he V'shotfo, he made it a shutef. But it was like a primary shutef. Rachamim and Din. But sometimes even with Rachamim and Din, even with Din and the Rachamim in the Din, we're still not Zeicha. Hashem has an entitlement program. You didn't earn it, but you deserve it because of your suffering. And we find this many people who've suffered, they have that sense of something is owed to them. We owe them because they went through suffering, and there is something emotionally and psychologically to that feeling. And so Hashem sometimes puts us through difficulty in order to be able to be mezake us with brocha, with atzlocha, way beyond anything that we could have been zeicher to bedin, and we could have imagined. And the Torah that we have, and the mitzvahs that we have, and the matzav that we have in Klal Yisroel, is because Hashem, even though we could have lost it in din because of our emanating from Ovdei Avodah Zarah, but Hashem has put us through challenges and difficulties in order to be able to grant us that entitlement of now having to have this, these benefits and these gifts. And we really should and could apply this to so many things in life. As a scenario, we don't know. We don't know what's going on, you know, behind the scenes. The Hasidish Rebbe once in the Holocaust, they asked him why Hashem allows these things. And the Rebbe's answer was, I'll tell you the truth, you know, I'm an old man, and I learned a long time ago I don't like to ask Hashem why. I'm afraid if I ask him why, he'll say to me, oh, come on upstairs, and I'll be happy to show you the whole panorama, the whole needlepoint there from the beginning of time to the end, and you'll understand why. And he said, the Rebbe, I'm not quite ready to go. I want to stay here. I don't want to go there yet. So the truth of the matter is that we do have to accept that we can't understand things. But once again, a scenario is appropriate. Now, the truth of the matter is that the more a person connects with Hashem, the more we develop a sense of trust, of bitochen in Hashem, the more focused we are on that relationship with Hashem, the more that we feel that dveikus v'Hashem, that clinging, that v'holachto bidrocho v'dovakto bo, we're mashlim our midos, we're mashlim ourselves, we make of ourselves into godly human beings, and therefore thereby connect in the most intimate connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That connection, and Rav Meir Simcha in the Meshech Chochma seems to call that connection bitochin. You know, that's like when a person trusts Hashem, he's in that deep emotional kesher and relationship with Hashem. That has two amazing benefits. Benefit number one, that it affects the results. It affects the challenges. It affects the difficulties that we are going through. Habitech b'Hashem chesed yisovevenu. One who puts his trust in Hashem will be surrounded by chesed. The Meiri's Loshen is, Haboteach b'Hashem ein toicheles sheloi nichsevo. One who puts his trust in Hashem, his hope that he puts in Hashem will not be disappointed. David HaMelech said, Elokai botachti alei voisho. I trusted in you, Hashem. Don't let me be embarrassed. Not only that, gam kol koivecho lo yevoishu. Those that hope, not fully trusting, but hoping and refuse to give up hope, those two should not be embarrassed. Those two seem to be schusim that help us to achieve goals. David HaMelech said it, v'ani b'chastecho botachti, I trusted in your chesed. Yogel libi b'shuasecho, and the Goyin says, Yogel zoloshen osin, I, because I trusted in your chesed, I have such a deep insight and understanding of your chesed, therefore my heart, I know my heart will rejoice in the Yeshua. I know it's going to happen. Something tells me it's going to happen because I just have such a deep sense of appreciating your chesed. So the more that a person can connect with Hashem, the more that he influences the trajectory of the difficulties that he's going through. But there's another benefit, and that benefit is no less significant, and that is the benefit of menuchas hanefesh, of tranquility, of peace of mind, of this sense of I'm relying on Hashem, Hashem is taking care of everything, hashlech al Hashem yehovcho, take your peckle of tzoras and throw it on Hashem, and now it's his tzora, now it's his problem, now he has to deal with it, and that gives a tremendous sense of menuchas hanefesh. There's nothing to worry about. The worry is so great, the enemy is upon me, the danger is so acute, I'm relying on Hashem. Number one, he could take care of everything. He's a kol yochol. In ma'atzul Hashem ilo ishiya, nothing prevents him from saving me. Yeshua Hashem is kiherif ayin, like the blink of an eye. And he's molei chesed v'rachamim. And that gives me the sense of something's going to happen. And besides that, the tranquility, the peace of mind, the menuchas hanefesh, the comfort, just to... I'm not worried because I'm relying on Hashem, and it mitigates, if not potentially even eliminates, the pain and the suffering and the fear of the unknown, because I am relying on Hashem. And the truth of the matter is, someone actually told this to me, a vort that he thought of, but I saw it in the Malbim too, that Habutech Hashem Chesed Yisrevenu, not only like the Mefarshim means that one who trusts Hashem will be surrounded by Chesed, but the Malbim, I think, learns that one who trusts Hashem will, Chesed Yisrevenu means everything that surrounds him, he will perceive as Chesed. Trust in Hashem allows me, I trust Hashem. So therefore, even though I'm going through a challenge, I trust him that it's good. I trust him that he knows what he's doing. I trust him that it's for my benefit. So it helps me to, the bitochen helps me to adjust and to tolerate and to be calm and to be at peace even under trying, very trying, extremely trying circumstances. So that's something else I think that can be very, very helpful. And I'd like to mention, to point out, that the Chofetz Chaim writes in a letter in Machne Yisrael, a letter to soldiers that he's writing, he says that bitochen is not an all-or-nothing proposition. Kefi goydel habitochen, he writes, kach goydel hatzlocha. To the extent of the bitochen is the extent of the hatzlocha. It's not an all-or-nothing deal. A person has a certain amount of bitochen, it will bring him a certain amount of hatzlocha. So it's something that's always a very, very, extremely, extremely worthwhile investment. To maybe try to add another dimension of this perspective, of this trying to make some sense out of suffering, and I guess in the way of just a picture that might bring the message to home. It's a story that's told. I don't know too much about these stories, but about a little shtetl that had a Rebbe, and the Rebbe would always take care of them. They had a tzora, they'd go to the Rebbe would give a brocha, would be mispalel, and things would be good. The Rebbe passes away, and the Olam is very distraught. Now what? So until somebody wakes up and says, hey, the Rebbe is in Himmel, the Rebbe upstairs can maybe do more for us than he could do even from here. So they started, davening and hoping that the Rebbe will help them. The Rebbe didn't help them. Nothing happened. The tzoros kept piling up, tzoros more and more. And they were very, very, very distraught and disappointed. Finally, one day, the Rosh HaKol has a dream, and the Rebbe appears to him. This is the story, I don't know exactly what happened, but it's a very powerful story. And he says, I'll tell you the truth, I see your suffering. I mean, Tzarechot, I feel your pain. But from my vantage point here, when I see in the heavenly cheshbonos, in what's truly going on in the continuum of this world leading on to eternity, I see the good that's there. And I can't bring myself to request of Hashem that he should alleviate the challenges that you're going through. Because in the Olam HaEmes, from the heavenly perspective, from my perch up above, I see all the benefits. I see all the potential growth. I see all of the schar that you're going to get. I see the uplift that you're making. I see how you're paving a path to eternity. And therefore, I see it for the good that it is, even though you only see it in this very limited perspective. Agav, that's the reason why, even though the Gemara says, David HaMelech said, Al chesed o mishpato shira, David HaMelech was capable, Chazal say, of singing Al chesed o shira, Al mishpato shira. He could say the same shira, the same halil, whether Hashem was giving him chesed, or giving him mishpat, or punishing him, or being tough with him. But we're not on that level. So, in Shulchan Aruch, we say like this, on a psura toiva, it's paskin from the, based on the Mishnah, we say, a toiva ha-meitiv. And that's our good news. On a psura roa, we say, dayano emes. Really, if we were on the level, we could appreciate that that's also good. And we would say, a toiva ha-meitiv, but we can't. The most that we could do is muster the confidence, and the Rambam in the Pirush Mishnah says, a certain level of simcha, that we're confident that this is just, even though it's painful. Chofetz Chaim says, I'm not allowed to say something is bad. We could say it's bitter. So it's bitter. And I can't make that toiva meitiv. I can only say, Dayan ho'emes, Hashem is the true judge. But the reality is, I can say that with confidence. And even it says, Chayev od v'vorech al roh, k'shem shu v'vorech al ha-toiva, I should even say that with a sense of simcha in that, I know everything Hashem does is for the good. I know He's the true judge, even though I can't say that I'm enjoying it or that it's sweet or pleasant. So these are some of the attitudes that can be helpful. I would like to conclude with one exercise. It's far more than an exercise, you'll see in a moment, but an exercise that we could do at being able to cope with everything in life, realizing that we rely completely and totally on Hashem, and that Hashem has this special relationship with us, and therefore there's no need to be distraught about anything. Something that we are not going to achieve most likely overnight, but something that we can work to try to make some sense out of the challenges of life and hopefully grow in the process. You know, there's a mitzvah of Shmirah Shabbos. Shabbos is on the one hand an edus to Hashem as the creator, created the world. Shabbos is the day the world was finished, created. The world was complete. Sipurnu says, uveshleimus tihye menucha, that when the world is complete, there's menucha. And we are commanded to live in a state of menucha. In menucha, what does that mean? Shleimus, my world is complete. Shabbos, my world is complete. Rashi says, Sheshes yomim tavo, the siskom lachtecho. What does the Torah have to tell me? Do your work. It should be in your eyes, Rashi says. She'ia beinecho, ke'ilu kol melachtecho asuyo. Should be in your eyes as if all your work was done. Shabbos has the power to, everything is completed. Everything I had to do was done before. And the Creator is in charge, and He'll take care of whatever isn't finished. My business, there's, I'm missing out on business, He'll take care of it. I'm testifying through my living in a state of completedness that He is the Borei Olam. Also, Shabbos has another koyach, because we say, Beini ubein b'nei Yisrael lo yisi li olam, ki sheshes yomim osa Hashem. It's between us a special sign, Rashi says, of our special relationship. Rashi in Parshas Kisisa. This is the sign of that special relationship that I chose you, because I have given you, invited you to celebrate my day of menucha, my day of completedness, when I completed the world, together with me. To the exclusion, as we say, didn't give it to the goyim. What do you mean? He didn't give any of the mitzvahs to the goyim, except the Sheva mitzvahs. No, Shabbos they should have had. They didn't go out of Mitzrayim, they shouldn't have Pesach. They didn't take it to get a Torah, they shouldn't have Shavuos. Oh, but Shabbos, they were created too. But no, it's Beini Ubein B'nei Yisrael Lo Yisili Olam. It's a special sign of the special relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. I exclusively invite you every week to my anniversary celebration, celebrating the finishing of creation, and I invite you to the exclusion of everyone else who was also created. So this is a special sign of that uniquely close relationship. So Shabbos is a testimony to the Creator, and Shabbos is a it carries with it a special sign that we alone were invited. Benuach Shabbos is Chayiv Misa, that we alone were invited. That's a sign of the special relationship that Hashem has with us. The fact that there's a Creator, the fact that we live in a state of completedness, relying on that Creator one day out of seven, the fact that we know in that state of completedness and maybe helping and enhancing it, is that this Creator is not only the Creator who's in control, but and who created a world with chesed, but has this special loving relationship with Klal Yisrael. That gives us a sense of Menuchas HaNefesh. And I'd like to share with you a story that was written by somebody many years ago. But it's very, very apropos to this understanding. It tells the story of a Polish landlord, a nice guy, who used to visit his tenants. And one Friday night, he came upon this Jewish family. And they invited him in, have a seat. And he's sitting there and he sees singing, talking, tranquility. Menuchas HaNefesh, he sees a spirit that just overwhelmed him. But he looks around and he sees it leaking in through the ceiling. He sees the clothing frayed. He sees the tablecloth patched. He sees the food sparse. And the contrast was shocking to him. Such happiness, such peace of mind, such tranquility, such beauty in the context of such poverty. He walks over to the Balabas and he says to him, Reb Yid, one wish, anything in the world you want is yours. This poor Jew could have had anything he wanted, a new apartment, a new house, a new job, money, anything. He says, could you be so kind? There's a candle on the table, a wax, whatever they had, candle, and it's bent over and it's dripping. And because it's going to go out faster, we won't be able to enjoy the Shabbos meal. I ask you, please, straighten up the candle so we will be able to continue enjoying the Shabbos meal. Now, what's the, I don't know what the author had in mind, but this poor Jew couldn't relate to the question on Shabbos of, Vos felt eich, Reb Yid? What are you lacking? I'm lacking nothing. My world is complete. I'm relying on Hashem. We have this special relationship with Hashem. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not lacking anything today. The only thing he could imagine he was lacking was a Shabbos goy. Also, he shouldn't have been lacking, but that's besides the point. Our author didn't know that. We should be able to enjoy the meal long. You straighten out the candle. This is the koyach that Shabbos has. And this can be for us, a Shabbos can be for us as a foundation of connection to Hashem, of bitochen in Hashem, of realizing that Hashem is the Creator, of realizing this special relationship that Hashem has with Klal Yisrael to the exclusion of everyone else. And the Shabbos, the Menuchas HaShabbos, the Mechevle Moshiach Yutzolu Lirvocho, can be a schus to be able to save from all of the suffering and the tzoras that we have, and psychologically and emotionally can give us the strength, can give us the Dveikus Hashem, the connection with Hashem, can give us the ability to rise above all the challenges of the 6 days of the week and to truly find ourselves capable of facing the challenges, of facing the difficulties, of facing the pain and suffering that go on in this world with the knowledge that Hashem is in control and that Hashem loves us and Hashem does everything for the good. And when we rely on Him, He will turn things around, and in the process, we can have this ultimate sense of Menuchas HaNefesh and tranquility. Kodesh Baruch Hu should help. That we should be Zeiche. That we should be this, the suffering of Klal Yisrael, and it's so much on a communal level, and on a personal level, individual level. It's what's going on. Hashem should help to alleviate all the suffering. And we should be Zeiche. That we should strengthen ourselves through all of these difficulties, through all of these challenges, to be zeicher, to be roi, to be worthy, to be makabel pnei Mashiach Tzidkenu, with the binyan beis hamikdash b'mehera b'yomenu.